the leader of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee has been detained by ICE despite living in the U.S. for more than 30 years. Supporters say it's politically motivated. It's Friday, April 3rd, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Wisconsin's Supreme Court election is less than a week away. The candidates squared off in a debate last night. And members of the first ever girls basketball team to win a championship in Wisconsin look back at their accomplishment.
We were playing, knowing we were going to be going into high school, where there were no sports teams for girls.
Stay with us.
Help students start and stay writing with Woopin Soccer, a free multimedia resource from PBS Wisconsin Education and UW-Madison School of Education. Collaborative arts-based activities and lessons are designed to help learners build confidence in writing and see how extraordinary their ideas are. Visit pbswisconsineducation.org to explore the Woopin Soccer collection today.
Supporters of a prominent pro-Palestinian activist in Wisconsin are calling for his release from ICE custody. Salah Sasour is president of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee. He grew up in the West Bank, but has been a legal resident of the U.S. for more than 30 years. He was detained by ICE agents on Monday and is now in a detention center in Indiana. His supporters say the arrest was politically motivated. More than 200 people showed up to support him in a press conference yesterday. Fazia Qureshi is the executive director of the Wisconsin Muslim Civic Alliance.
This is not a routine immigration enforcement action. This is a targeted, politically motivated arrest.
A statement from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security accused Sasour of lying on his immigration forms. It said he was convicted in Israel for, quote, throwing Molotov cocktails at the homes of Israeli armed forces. The candidates for Supreme Court in Wisconsin were supposed to debate last week, but that ended up being postponed after Judge Chris Taylor was hospitalized with kidney stones. The two candidates, being Judge Taylor and Judge Maria Lazar, did end up facing off in a debate last night. It was their only debate this election cycle and took place just days before the April 7th election. Rich Kramer has more.
The debate was hosted by WISN TV 12 in Milwaukee and touched on a range of topics, including abortion. Even before moderators asked about reproductive rights, Taylor attacked Lazar for previously calling the U.S. Supreme Court ruling that overturned federal abortion protections very wise.
It's not been very wise for victims of rape and incest who now live in states where abortion has been outlawed.
Lazar bristled at the comment from Taylor, calling it a ridiculous lie.
And to say that I'm extreme, that I want women to die or suffer, my opponent has been saying that from the beginning, and that is absurd.
Taylor worked as a lobbyist for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin about 15 years ago. When asked, she said she would still hear cases involving the group if elected. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Manitowoc County committee is recommending the county board approve an ordinance placing a one-year moratorium on data centers. The towns of Two Creeks, Two Rivers, and Mishicot all passed resolutions in February, calling on the county to pause the developments. They're under the zoning jurisdiction of Manitowoc County. At their request, a county commission recommended approval of an ordinance that would prohibit the county from accepting applications or issuing permits for data centers for 12 months. James Falkowski chairs the commission. He says the moratorium would not apply to municipalities with their own zoning code.
We don't have the authority to say, no, you can't do this. You have to do it this way. They do have autonomy to say, well, we're going to allow them to do this.
The county board could update the proposal on April 28th. This comes as a developer is looking to bring a data center to the region. Wisconsin's Attorney General Josh Call says he's, quote, confident that the U.S. Supreme Court will uphold birthright citizenship. As Sarah Lear reports, Call joined a friend of the court brief urging the high court to preserve that right.
The brief from Call and other Democratic attorneys general says the Constitution makes clear that children born in the United States automatically get U.S. citizenship. An executive order from President Donald Trump seeks to deny that right to children born to parents without permanent legal status. Speaking to WPR's Wisconsin Today, Call said justices were, quote, clearly skeptical of the president's position during oral arguments Wednesday. But he said it's, quote, unfortunate that the issue made it this far.
The fact that the Supreme Court even took this for argument and heard argument on it shows that Donald Trump has been able to exert his authority in a way that has caused courts to take up arguments that really aren't serious.
Trump's order has been blocked by lower courts. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
An American white pelican that captured the hearts of a Lake Superior community has died after undergoing treatment for gunshot wounds. Northern Wisconsin residents followed the bird's movements after it stayed long past migration. The Ashland community named the pelican Gitchy. In December, the Raptor Education Group in Antigo admitted the pelican after it had been captured along the icy shoreline of Lake Superior's Shawamigan Bay. The facility's founder says an examination revealed the bird had been shot with both steel shot and lead ammunition. It is illegal to hunt or shoot protected migratory birds like the American white pelican. Conservation Warden Jack Leisman with the Department of Natural Resources says an investigation is ongoing.
In this particular case, we don't really have a timeline when this could have happened. We just have when the bird was rescued and then when we learned that it was shot.
The bird died this week due to lead poisoning and an infection stemming from its wounds. Coming up, we've got a story from StoryCorps about how Title IX allowed two Wisconsin high school girls to become basketball champions. Stay with us.
Wisconsin life is about the food.
Tacos.
Who doesn't love a taco?
Exactly.
Everybody says, oh, this tastes good. How do you season it? Oh, we can't tell you. Just eat some more.
I wish my lemonade would be so famous that I could just walk down a red carpet.
Wisconsin Life, every Wednesday and Friday on WPR News and at wisconsinlife.org.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Tyler Ditter with a story about two trailblazing basketball champions.
Prior to 1972, girls didn't always have the opportunity to play sports at school. But the passage of Title IX changed that. It paved the way for Manitowoc's Roncalli girls basketball team to become the sport's first state champions in 1975. Two former teammates talked with one another about that experience as part of a StoryCorps mobile tour stop in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
My name is Barb Barenbrook-Luring. I am 65 years old.
I am Sue Tringali Johnson. I am 66. So we grew up in Manitowoc, Wisconsin, and our city recreation department did have organized girls basketball teams for grade school and high school. But at that point in time, we were playing, knowing we were going to be going into high school, where there were no sports teams for girls.
But ta-da, enter the passage of Title IX, the fact that our private high school, Manitowoc Roncalli, received public assistance for lunches, which meant they were getting public assistance, so they would have to begin offering sports for girls too. So when we got to school, we found out that we were going to have a basketball team. We felt like we won the lottery.
In the summer of 1972, the budgets were already done, and all the money, of course, was at that point pledged to the boys' sports teams. So that meant the budget for the girls was zero, right? Nothing. Assistant coach Sue Schneider, who was a...
Her mom was like an excellent seamstress. She came to a practice one night and she measured each of us girls and put together a pair of polyester navy blue shorts that she custom sewed for each of us. So the pants are taken care of.
The school did step up a little bit and ordered light blue polyester sleeveless tops with these giant numbers on them and no school name. But we had shorts, our sleeveless tops with the giant numbers, so we were going to be able to play. And actually, we finished our high school season with an 8-3 record.
Pretty good for a first season.
So our second season, we were undefeated. Officially, we did win sectionals, but we really wanted a full state tournament like the boys had, right? Not
right.
Stopping at regionals. And then it changed, because then we found out for the 1974-75 season, when I was a senior and you're a junior, mm-hmm. just in time, right?
Just in
for
time.
For me, they announced that there'd be the first tournament for girls in the state of Wisconsin.
And we did actually make it to the state tournament, which was February 22nd, 1975. So we won our semifinal game against Milwaukee Lutheran, which meant we would be playing Racine St. Catherine.
It was a super close game, 65-62. Actually pretty high scoring. And this was in the day of no three-point shot.
No three-pointers, right.
So we won, you know, and it was an amazing experience. And I know tears just started immediately because, you know, all the things we work for, it just was like, there, it's all coming back for me right now, which is crazy. and then we got the trophy and all that, and it was super cool. And we were in Madison, and it was about a three-hour ride back to Manitowoc. And it just so happened that the boys were playing. So the gym was packed. We were introduced at halftime, walked out, standing ovation. It was like just super cool.
It was a real moment of validation for those of us that were there that felt like basketball was really important. And just imagine that group of us girls, but there were girls all over the country whose lives were changed forever by Patsy Mink, Congressman, our representative Patsy Mink, and her congressional colleagues, and a president who together created our powerful Title IX movement. It was like the stars were just all lined up. It was pretty cool.
That was Barb Barenbrook-Loring and Sue Tringali-Johnson, formerly of Manitowoc. Their interviews were recorded at StoryCorps, a national initiative to record and collect stories of everyday people. Excerpts were selected and produced by Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of WPR and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Tyler Ditter.
And of course, we'll end the show with a quick check of your forecast before letting you go for the weekend. Cloudy today and cold with highs in the 30s and 40s. Chance for some rain in southwestern Wisconsin later on. An ice storm warning in parts of central and northern Wisconsin overnight. The rest of northern Wisconsin under a winter weather advisory tonight, while the south could see some strong thunderstorms. Low temperatures in the 30s tonight. Temperatures in the 40s and 50s for both Saturday and Sunday. And that'll do it for this Friday. Glad you could join us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.